I am Matthew Jenkins Yaroshevitz, Music Director Designate of the Canton Symphony Orchestra.
And I'm Rachel Hagemeyer, President and CEO.
This is Orchestrating Change. Today we are joined by Jean-Pierre Johnson, a rap artist who performs under the stage name Jean P. the MC. A prolific recording artist, he has released over 20 different projects from mixtapes to full-length albums. A proud Canton native, he graduated from McKinley High School, located right next door to the Zimmerman Symphony Center, and studied creative writing at Ohio University. He was recently featured in an episode of the notable Northeast Ohio music scene podcast, Shuffle, and will be performing next week as a part of the Canton Symphony's Divergent Sounds series. Jean P. the MC, welcome to Orchestrating Change.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Yeah, we're very pumped to have you. So a little tiny intro from Matthew. Would you mind now just introducing yourself, who you are, just a little bit about you and kind of how music became a part of your life?
Well, my name is Jean P. the MC, or people know me as JJ from the
Mail. Oh, okay.
Or Jean Johnson. 33 years old, born and raised in the city of Canton, Ohio. Music and hip hop has been a part of my life for a long time. I feel like hip hop has helped navigate my story. Being from Canton, it's always helped me tell the story about where I come from in my life. Music and writing has always been a central part of who I am. My mother was a singer. She sang gospel. She grew up directing the choir. Like, she was doing it when she was younger, up until she passed. And my dad was a known basketball player in the city of Canton. He played for Timken years ago. So, you know, having parents who were known for doing things, and Canton is a part of me a lot. You know, that's one thing I could say about my music and who I am. Yeah. So
you've been a part of the rap scene here in this area for over 10 years.
Yeah.
We have not had a rapper on this podcast. And furthermore, I would say our audience probably doesn't know a whole lot about it. So just tell us a little bit about what it's like to be a rap artist and about the Ohio rap scene.
Man, what it's like to be a rap artist. For me, it's been fun. You know, it's been a part of my life, literally. I started doing music professionally when I was 18 at Ohio University. You know, growing up in those days in McKinley, nobody really understood the kid who enjoyed quote unquote real hip hop or Tribe Called Quest and Common and things like that. They didn't really understand that. So when I went to Ohio University, that was like the birth of Jean P. the MC. You know, the time when I was doing music was when blogs were popular. So we would go on the blogs and see who was the popular artist. And there were so many artists in Ohio who inspired me. There were groups like Money Gang who inspired us. Unorthodox, an artist who recently passed away. Oh. But in like around 2000, he was actually featured in The Source magazine.
Okay.
So like for at some time when I would say I was from Canton and I would go to different places, the first thing they say is like, Canton, isn't that football there? They have rappers in Canton. They just know Canton is like football or a city they drive past that gets to Cleveland.
Yeah.
So they'll be like, yeah, I know. I go through Canton. I've been there once. Don't you have a parade or something like that every year? You know, so when I was going to these different places and meeting rappers from like Canton, from Cleveland and Columbus, and I say Canton, they wouldn't believe it because of my music too.
Right.
You know, my music is very lyrical. Mm-hmm. It's very storytelling. So when I would rap, I would go to some places and they'd be like, man, what part of New York are you from? I'm like, I'm from Canton, Ohio. They're like, nah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Well,
that's awesome.
I don't know what it is about where you're from that people are like, people always assume that if something's really great, it's going to be from somewhere specific.
Right.
There's just like an assumption that happens there. But when you said Canton, isn't that the football town? We get the exact same thing in the orchestra community.
I bet. Yeah,
You know, I'm in Canton, Ohio, and people ask me what I do. And then they go, oh, there's an orchestra here? And I go, I'm like, we've been here for 86 years, people.
It hurt. It kind of stings a little bit because, but I also understand it, you know, because being a person that's immersed in the hip hop culture, Canton, Ohio, or just Ohio was not a hot spot for right. hip hop. You know, it's always New York or LA or right. Chicago.
Right.
And those are, of course, the places where you find the most classical music as yeah. well.
Right.
Those are the hubs for those
I
as
was
well.
Just talking to my brother, and we had a big concert yesterday, and my brother was wondering how it went. And I said, well, you know, it was one of the best things I've ever been a part of, but it wasn't sold out. And he said something like, yeah, it's not like in New York where you put on any show whatsoever and 1,000 people just materialize.
That's how I feel about being an artist sometimes. Like the shows and ideas that I have, I get inspired from seeing places in Cleveland and Columbus when their rappers have shows and people pull up and show up. But in Canton, it's like you kind of got to pull them a little bit. It's like they're kind of behind a little bit versus like in New York, for example, a lot of my friends, they go to these secret shows. Oh, this rapper put on this show at this spot here, man, and it was sold out. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how'd you promote it? Man, they promoted like a secret link. And I was like, man, if you did a secret link in Canton, I don't think it worked because they gotta put it in front of them. Like,
yeah, hey, there's you have to put it in front of them, and then you have to mail it to them, and then you have to call them, mm-hmm. and then you have to do it.
There, they was like, he emailed us, and they went to the show in other places. Mm-hmm. So like when people see my type of hip hop, there are other artists in other cities who inspire me, and I bring that culture here. So I think it's a compliment when people assume I'm from a major city, and then when I say Canton, they're like, mind is blown. Yeah. Like, you're from Canton, Ohio?
So how would you describe your hip-hop? For people who aren't immersed in this world, which is probably a lot of our listeners.
Yeah, yeah. Figure.
How would you describe your hip-hop, and maybe give us... The history of hip hop is huge, and we cannot go into all of it because it would take a very long time. It's a very rich and crazy history, depending on where you come from, right? LA, Chicago, New York. But could you talk about maybe your hip hop style a little bit and kind of where it fits in the hip hop world?
Well, I know that someone who would come to a Canton Symphony show, when they think of hip hop, it isn't always the most positive things. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something I will say, because me being a black man and having to represent for hip hop, people automatically have those stereotypes of what we're about. Mm-hmm. And then you have me coming into the game where it's like you wouldn't even hear me really say a cuss word, and I get mistaken for a Christian artist. So I tell people to be comfortable listening to me. You know, I might say the N word here, a damn or something like that, but it's nothing where it's like, oh, I can't play no Jean P around my kids. Mm-hmm. Like, oh no, I want all people, younger, old, and even different worlds who may have never listened to hip hop, be like, you know what? I don't listen to a lot of rap, but I listen to Jean P and the MC. I've come across that a lot in Canton, you know, like going to First Fridays and people seeing me rap and they're like, I've never listened to a lot of rap because it's always violent or something like that. But when I hear you, I don't hear that. And I think that's such a compliment.
Yeah.
Because hip hop isn't all what you see. You know, it isn't all bad and violent and controversial. You have some guys who are really saying things. So I would tell someone, I don't like to use artist examples, but you have to, the people who don't understand the world of hip hop. So early Kanye West. not last year or last
not
week.
Last year?
You know what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying. Yes,
like,
yes, yes.
So like, if you like Kanye West, if you like Common, Talib Kweli, Mos Def. Mm. If you just like hip hop, if you like that hip hop that has saying something where you're not like, what is he saying? Which is like my 13-year-old's playlist half the time. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know what's happening, but there's words apparently.
Yeah. You know, but with me, you can hear something. I can tell a story. You could hear a Jean P song where, hey man, I need to pick me up for work. What Jean P song can I play? I have songs like that. I have a song that I did called Play a Pimp, you know, and it's about just a man feeling good about himself. Because women have those songs where they get up, they get dressed, they get their hair done, their nails done. And I just feel like any man, you know what I'm saying, like could hear that, like, man, I'm feeling good today. You know, I say fresh cut, nice jeans, gold chain, white tee. And this may not be necessarily the clothes you wear, but you could feel that. Man, I put on a fresh shirt today. You know, I got on some new dress pants. You know, I feel like player pimp today. I'm feeling good, fresh cut. So like, it's a metaphor. You know, it's like their feel-good song. I've had guys who work in switching corporate jobs, being like, yo, man, I play a pimp on my way to work this morning. Nothing to do with what they do, but it's like, it just made me feel good. Yeah. You know, I got a fresh cut. I got some fresh clothes on, you know. My woman didn't argue with me this morning. You know, she packed my lunch. Well, I'm feeling good today. You know, I'm feeling like a player pimp. I'm feeling good. It's a metaphor, though. It's not necessarily playing and pimping, but it's like, I'm feeling good, like a playboy. You know, I'm feeling great today. You know, I have songs like that. I have a song called Hometown Hero.
Yeah, that's a yeah.
Or Ode to Cancer.
It's all good, but yeah, that's yeah.
Yeah, all so many. I just like to tell my story. So when you listen to John P, you can find your niche. You know, you can find the upbeat songs, positive songs, songs where I talk about being a father, songs where I talk about, you know, trying to get a lady's attention. You know, I have different niches for John P the MC. Yeah. So that's why I call myself the MC, because there's different styles to what I'm doing.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I have a question.
Yeah.
Knowing intimately well what goes into it, when you put on a record or a CD of a classical piece, of an orchestra piece, I know everything that had to go into this, from the writing of the music to the rehearsing of the music to the actual recording, the polishing, all of that. What goes into writing one of your songs as well as recording? And what, tell us a little bit about your process for writing, and then in the studio at the recording session, are there a lot of instrumentalists that play what we hear underneath your rapping?
So,
or how does it all work? Take us through the process.
Well, first of all, I respect orchestra and symphony, because y'all have to really do the music. I have to write it out. Like, I respect the rappers. We just show up and rap. You know, but
okay, there's more to it than just showing up and rapping.
But as far as the process, I produce as well. So if there's a beat I want to make, let's say I find an old dusty record that I like that I heard at Walmart or something, or Goodwill, I go pick up some records. I'll play the records. I'll chop it up. And I always consider the MPC to be a hip hop instrument, because we can take a sample and just flip it and chop it and make different sounds about it and put drums over it. So that's our orchestra in a way, you know, because we can take these records and break them down. And on the MC side, when I hear a good beat, I just start thinking of words. That's how I know the beat is good, because I get beats sent to me all the time. Like, oh, check out my beats. What do you think of this? And it has to hit me. So, like, when I hear the beat and I start thinking of words, my mind starts turning into a dictionary. I'm like, all right, yeah, I'm ready to write now.
Yeah, that's it. So my cousin is a hip hop artist. His name is Wick Whitney. Mm-hmm. And so I've learned a little bit about, I think, the world of beats and creating beats.
Yeah.
It is. I wonder, what does it take to have, what actually makes up a good beat? Because there's beats, and then there's the stuff that makes you want to write lyrics and have us, like, what makes a good beat?
I think what makes a good beat, in my opinion, is a great producer. I think it takes just knowing what you want, getting it out of your head, and the sound. You know, you have some producers who feel like they have all these different layers, it makes a good beat, but me, it's just about how it sounds. You know, some producers, like, I put this many effects and synthesizers and hi-hats on this track, and it's like, all right, it's cool, but it doesn't make the song good. Sometimes it's simple. You know, when I make my beats, I just need a kick, a snare, hi-hat, dope sample, then I put the bass line under it. So to me, it has to make me feel good first, you know, because you can do all that to a beat, but even with the symphony, it had to feel good. You know, any genre that you do, you can make it any way you want, but as long as it feels good, no matter what the genre is. But in hip hop, the first thing you have to recognize is feeling. That's the one thing I focus on in my records. I may have never sold hundreds and thousands of records. I wish, you know what I'm saying? But when you hear John P, you're going to feel good at first. I feel like that's my strength, is I focus on the feeling. The sound is going to come after you feel what you're listening to. Like, man, you know, this is good, you know, so.
And to Matthew's question, in the recording studio, is it just you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I record by myself.
You record by yourself, and this is all you on a computer filling in and said,
So you don't have a live drummer who's laying down your beat for you.
But you can have that. There are like the Roots. Like the first time I've heard of musicality in hip hop was the Roots. I remember being 14, 15 and hearing Do You Want More and Illa Duff Half-Life and just being amazed at how they were a band. So like when I was young, I would love to experience that, like rap with a band. I did a couple times at OU, rapped with a band. It felt so good. So that's different doing that versus, you know, someone emailing you a beat and you just putting the MP3 over there and just rapping over it. But I love performing with a band.
Yeah.
That was my first time doing that in college. And like I recently did it with Mount Union.
Yes. Yeah.
That was amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, that I just love the fact that these worlds that I didn't think would be accepting to hip hop are accepting me.
Yeah.
You know, especially being from this city. You know, when they reached out to me and was like, "Hey, we want you to rap with our choir," I thought they were joking. I was like, They're joking. This isn't. But three nights.
Yeah.
And new people who've never seen rap with this winter formal. It was so crazy doing this show, and people who you just know don't listen to rap were like, "I like your music. You're my favorite rapper.
Uh-huh.
I like you." That made me feel good. Yeah. I just love bringing new worlds into hip hop.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just mentioned Ohio University. So you got a creative writing degree.
I didn't finish.
Oh, you didn't. Well, you did part of it.
I wanted to, though. I want to finish.
Hey, how much do you have left to do?
I think I have about a year and a half or 2 years.
Okay.
My best friend, Russell Morrow, he's actually the vice president of multicultural affairs at Ohio University. It's crazy because like we were down there trying to be rappers, and now he's like the man in charge down there. And I always tell him, like, "Yo, man, I get my credits together so I can go back to school. I think I'm ready now."
Yeah.
You know, it's a little different because I think God allowed me to go to OU to learn how to be Jean P. the MC. You know, thank God, like, hip-hop was an outlet for me and it made me learning life. Mm-hmm. You know, some people don't have outlets when they're going through things outside of music, you know, to keep them sane. And hip-hop was always there for me. When I had no money, I had hip-hop. You know, when I couldn't do this or that, I had music. I had my notebook. When I had to go to Taco Bell to eat $5 boxes for dinner sometimes, hey, I still had my notepad and I could write about it. And you hear my song and think I'd have the record deal of a lifetime. But nah, I'm in my one-bedroom apartment, you know, living off $5 boxes, you know, but I still had my music, mm-hmm. you know. So that's what my relationship with hip hop is more than just music. It's deep. It's spiritual. It's the way I walk, the way I talk, talking to kids. It's just so much, man. Hip hop has really been a blessing for me. Even doing this, like Canton Symphony, I would have never thought the Canton Symphony would do a show with me. I never thought that.
Oh my gosh.
So let's talk a little bit about the upcoming show next week. How does it feel to perform with four musicians from the Canton Symphony who all have master's degrees in classical music performance? What do you think about all this?
What are the instruments you picked? You picked harp.
Harp.
Nancy Patterson. How about that?
I'm so excited.
I picked trumpet. Cello.
Yeah.
And violin.
Okay, that's going to be so good.
Awesome.
Yeah, sorry. Awesome. Sorry, I just wanted to remind myself of which four instruments
I had to remind myself, too. I didn't know what my music sounded like, but at harp.
Harp is good, such a good choice.
My favorite hip-hop songs. Like, I've listened to a lot of Dr. Dre.
Okay.
So Dr. Dre, he incorporates a lot of instruments. So I was talking to my manager, like, which one should I pick? And, you know, we were like, the ones that are central in hip-hop production. You know, you got to have that cello, got to have a little bit of bass in there, you know, that trumpet. And that harp just makes everything sound good. So I'm just excited in knowing what the symphonies are going to make. These songs that were MP3s, how they're going to make them sound with instruments. I'm so excited about it, man. It feels historic, the fact that it's being done during Black History Month.
Yeah, we're right... The last day. The last day,
29,
February 29th.
Leap day.
Leap day. Yeah, the last.
It's Black History Month with an extra day.
Yes.
There it is.
So we get 2 days to celebrate Jean P. the MC and the Canton Symphony. But like, that's an accomplishment in itself, man. I just want to inspire people who look like me from here, you know, because before I was doing it, it was just black and white. You know, there were some things we couldn't do, some things we thought we couldn't do. We didn't think we can go to symphony shows or go to First Fridays. And we didn't think that was like really welcome or we want to do that. But I'm showing people like, look, we can do this too. You know, that you got hip hop artists. I want another Jean P. the MC to do a show with the symphony 10 years from now or whenever.
Well, hopefully sooner than that.
Hopefully sooner than hopefully that. Hopefully sooner you than know. That. I was hoping my son would, but he wants to be a football player.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, maybe we can change his mind.
I hope.
No, but I think that people put music in boxes.
Yeah.
And a lot of this podcast, I mean, we've talked to we're on season 5 of it. We've talked to so many people and we've focused in our own, in orchestral music, but the people on this podcast are hugely diverse. I mean, like the people who are in classical music and doing this work come from all walks of life and do all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And Divergent Sounds, I think, has been a really cool way for us as a symphony to engage in other genres of music in really fun and cool way. And the shows are always so good.
I've heard great things about those shows.
So fun. But what's cool is that we do all different genres. I mean, we've, you know, Anya Van Rose did the last one.
Shout out Anya Van Rose. Anya Rose,
she's so good. And we've, you know, and she's more like bubblegum pop, you know, type of music. And we had JT in the fall, and he's a jazz saxophone.
Those are my guys. Yeah. You know, all these artists you're saying, we've worked together.
Right.
Like I did a show with JT and Flacco.
Flacco's done Divergent. Yeah.
That's how I learned. That's how I learned about the Canton Symphony Orchestra
was through Flacco.
Because Flacco texted me and he was like, yo, man, I got a show in your city. And I was like, for real? I was like, where at? The Oracle or something? He was like, it's with the Canton Symphony Orchestra. And I was like, hold on. What is that?
Yeah. Well, so we used to do Divergent here at the Zimmerman Symphony Center. So it used to be downstairs and we tried to transform Foundation Hall and it was so hard and we had to bring in so many things and it took a lot of work.
And it was cool.
It was cool.
At the same time, it was cool.
It was cool.
Yeah, it was very cool.
But when we were kind of thinking about what's a new way for us to approach this series, we reached out to Josh at the Oracle. And so
Josh
really, he knows so much.
Oh, that's my dude.
He's the one. He was like, we need to have Jean P. And I was like, I don't know who that is. And then great. Now he's on the, so just moving that location. But that's so interesting that you heard about us from Flacco.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
That was cool because when he told me, first I was like, Canton Symphony Orchestra, that sounds great. How'd you get that? You know, he was like, well, they wanted to try hip hop. And I was like, I don't think nobody from Canton's ever done that. My first thought was they must not know. You know, I mean, they don't know about Jean P. the MC. Like, Canton hip hop is something that when people find out, they're like, wow. Because it's not just me. You know, you have Nicasso, who was also featured in the repository this month.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Nicasso. He performed at Tacos and Tequila, too.
Did he?
Yeah, he opened up for
yes, he did. Yeah. Yes.
So shout out to Nicasso. That's the thing. When they find out about us, though, they're amazed. They're like, man, y'all have some really good hip-hop here. So that's the cool thing is, like, wowing people and then being introduced to what we do. Mm-hmm. Because we try our best to really put on for the city and show other people who listen to hip hop what it's like here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's really cool.
You are somebody who comes from outside our musical sphere of orchestral music. So as an outsider, what is your perception of the world of the orchestra looking in?
You guys really know music. That's my assumption. You know what you're talking about. That's why I trust you guys with the music. Very timely, you know, very structured. You know, I learned that even with working with Mount Union's choir. That type of music and the orchestral sound, the choir sound, timing. Y'all are real big on timing, you know. Like y'all don't play. And I'm like, cool, you know. I like that, you know. You know your craft, too. And the one thing I respect about the orchestral music and hip-hop, the one thing I think we have in common is we need to know the history. Like, I'm sure you know about the start of the orchestral music, just like I think it's necessary for hip hop. You know, a lot of MCs don't know hip hop started in the South Bronx in the 70s in the projects. You know, they used what they had because they had no instruments, which is crazy. They had no instruments. All they had was a record player, and it turned into hip hop. So with the orchestral music, I've always respected it. I've always thought it was cool. When I would see rappers like Nas, I think he did something with the Philharmonic.
Yeah, he was with L.A. He did something with the L.A. Or maybe it was New York.
It was L.A. and New York. But like when
or both, probably.
And when I seen it, he had the full orchestra, though. I watched it, and I was like, yo, he's got like oboes and trumpets and French horns. And I'm like, this is amazing. And just me having that experience with four musicians, it's a blessing. So to answer your question, structure and timing, and you know, I always see the was that the conductor? That's me. Oh, so you're the guy that's and you make sure things are in charge.
With only four people, they don't need me.
You sure?
You'll be fine without me. But
yeah, they'll look at you.
But if it were
you're their conductor at this
point. It were 44 people, then
yeah.
I always wondered that, like when I have the show, do I say like hit it? And then they just play, or do I just wait on them? So I'm excited about the rehearsals. Excited about how it's going to go. I just know that when I shared this with my friends and family and fans, they're really happy for me. I didn't realize how big this was until like this week, because now people are like, yo, man, the symphony, that's crazy. Stuff doesn't hit me until last minute. So I think next week is when they'll be like, wow, I'm really doing this. Like, this is crazy. Like, when you ask me on the podcast, and then tomorrow I'm interviewed with Ed Ballant, and then I have another podcast on Wednesday. So I'm like, thank y'all for the promo weeks.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Well, it's so interesting. We've been talking for a little bit, and what you said earlier about, you know, it's black and white, didn't feel welcome. You never thought that this would ever happen. I wonder, our world doesn't have the greatest reputation of being the most welcoming. And that's part of why we have this podcast. And there's been a ton of change happening in our industry. But looking into the orchestra world, have you looked around and done some research in the orchestra world? Have you like seen, is there anything now you're like, okay, now that's my next goal. Like, that's what I want to do. Cause I love the fact that there's more collaborations happening and there's more orchestras in America that are doing stuff like this. Like, you see like Nas with Philharmonics and doing the full orchestra stuff. And we're seeing that happen. And I think that that's only a trend that's going to keep continuing. But do you see it changing? Do you feel like it's more welcoming now? I know that Canton's really specific, but is there anything that you've kind of observed once we've initiated this project?
I definitely feel it's more welcoming. And like, what I meant by that was like, you know, we're all welcome wherever, but I just meant like, you know, people don't really go to things
right.
like that.
Yeah.
So with the symphony, I feel honored, and I just want to think like, what's next? You know, because when I started rapping when I was 18 in college, it was just in the dorm room and I had a notebook, and I didn't know 15 years later I'd do things like this. So it's like, as life goes on, I just want to know what's next.
Yeah.
It makes you think like, what's bigger than the symphony? You know, do I need 400 more people?
There you go.
You know, I think that's the big thing, is that I just need the big orchestra. But this, even with these four individuals, like it's enough for me. And I just want to know what's next. I love, like we were talking earlier, I was telling you how the Colorado Symphony is collaborating with Wu-Tang, you know, All in Common. He did a show with an orchestra in Detroit. And I just love that. I love that these orchestras and these organizations realize like hip hop is music too. Some people don't take it serious.
Yeah.
They don't look at it as music, quote unquote. But I think all genres have in common, even with the instruments, you're telling a story when y'all are playing. Y'all are playing these instruments, y'all are telling a story just like I'm rapping, you know? And I love that we can combine both of those worlds together and do something great. So I'm only looking forward to what's next.
Yeah. Matthew and I aren't from Canton. You're from Cincinnati.
I am from Cincinnati.
Gold yes, Star Chili, huh?
Skyline Chili. Thank you very much. Gold Star was the off brand. Man, Skyline was where it's
my
at.
My son's mother is from Cincinnati. And I remember we went down there when he was born. I was down there for like a week, and all we ate was Gold Star.
Oof.
It was good.
I'm sorry.
Gold Star in La Rosas.
Oh, you know what? No, by then it was around. We usually go to Dewey's now. Yeah, okay. That's La Rosa's has been the classic Cincinnati pizza for decades, but Dewey's started when I was a kid, and now it's really blown up and it's all over the place.
Pizza Oven is our, that's our thing. I don't know what y'all.
That's a Canton thing, right?
Yeah. Pizza. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Oklahoma, so really? I'm not even an Ohio person. I'm originally from Oklahoma. I went to school up in Cleveland, okay. So I've been here for a while. But you know, I live in Canton now. Okay. I've lived here since 2019, and every city is different and unique and special. And you know, Matthew lives in Cleveland, and he's here all the time. But I wonder, from as someone who's lived here your whole life, and we've talked a lot about Canton and what makes Canton unique, but what about, obviously we have the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and everyone kind of, that's the reason people would know Canton is the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which as people in the music industry, we're like, hey, we're here too, help. But what about Canton do you find to be so special? And in our current situation, like looking at Canton as a community, what do you want to see happen in the future? What would your dream for Canton as a community be?
So right now I see change in the city. You know, I always joke and say Canton looked like Gotham City at one point in time. You know, it wasn't really much but football here. And then when you see the change and the buildings changing and the more businesses coming and you see the village, like, when I see that Ferris wheel over there, I'm like, man, we used to walk around there. Go to football games. And now all that's there is incredible, man. I love that Canton is like, it's like a resurgence in a way. You know, downtown, the Arts District, shout out to the Hub Art Factory. That's where I do my podcast at. You have men and women who like really care about the youth of the city. Lucas Tindale, Lester Sanders, individuals who really care, because we know what the city didn't have. And as far as the kids, we know what's needed. And you know, a lot of the kids just need someone to talk to. So they need to see the Jean P and the MCs, you know, the show, like, hey, yo, we can do some things here, and there's change that's coming in the city. Because, you know, at one point in time, we were just told we just could play football and basketball and sports here. And I just want to show them that you could do more than that. Your creativity can take you places, you know. I just feel honored that organizations want to work with me, you know, with the kids, and allow me to talk to students and be involved in the Canton Symphony, and even me being a mail carrier. That's cool too, because I carry mail in the city. So, you know, it's funny when I go home from work and people are like, I seen you downtown. I was like, well, I probably seen you downtown because I'm just walking around there all the time. But for people to see me be a local popular hip hop artist and deliver mail, you know, I try to keep that tapped in as I can to let them know, like, I'm really involved. Like, I'm not just on no hip hop thing and just saying it. Like, you really can see Jean P if you want to. I'm right downtown. So if you want to see the man himself, you can see me delivering, carrying Amazon packages upstairs, you know. So, yeah, I love that my city supports me, and I knew it would come with time. I knew as I got older, the city would change. And I always predicted that the Hall of Fame would do more, and these organizations would finally see it. You know, because at one point in time, you say hip hop, you go to venues, they'd be like, oh no, we're not working with that. You know, and it's unfortunate, you know, because before they even heard a song, you know, and now it's them wanting to work with me and the inclusion of the people of the city. I just love the fact that Canton feels like a family. You know, a lot of people that you see at the grocery stores, and when you're out and about, we went to high school together. We went to elementary school together. You know, I'm at the age now where it's like, man, I remember when this was McKinley. You know, I just was this part was just wasn't even here.
Yeah, this didn't exist.
This did not exist, you know. So I love that there's more change coming. I think the village is the coolest thing to come to Canton in a long time. Because, you know, like I said, we were just going to high school football games, walking around and during the games and just kicking it. Now they got security and all this fancy stuff, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I've only been here since when I got here in 2019. The Zimmerman Symphony Center has been here since 2014.
Yeah.
And so for a long time, on Matthew and I's drive to work, where there's now the Center for Performance and all that was just a bunch of dilapidated houses yep. that had been bought
yeah.
and then nothing was being done with. And the firemen would use it as practice. And so people come to concerts and it looks like they were in a war zone.
Yeah, that's wild that that was like yeah. all houses over there. And now it's the village.
And it's particularly wild. I've been here two years longer than Rachel. And it was only at the very early stages when I got here. Yeah. And it was actually still like a tree-lined neighborhood. There were a lot of beautiful trees and everything. And it's just so different now. It's
still in the early stages.
But it took... Yeah. It was kind of nice when I got here, and it's nice, very nice now. But it definitely, when Rachel first came in,
like, where
two,
am I?
2 years what after I arrived. Yeah.
What's going on?
I remember when I knew Karen was on the big things when Dave Chappelle was coming in. Here's how you know Canton people. When someone like that is announced, we don't believe it. Like when Dave Chappelle was coming here, everyone was like, he's not coming here. Someone made that up on Facebook. That's not real. And then till the Hall of Fame announced it, they were like, oh, he's really coming. You know, even with Tacos and Tequila, you know, mind you, it's Rick Ross, T.I., 2 Chainz, a big hip hop artist who could go to Cleveland, Cincinnati, Columbus, do a show. So when they announced that, everyone was like, they're not coming. That's a virtual show. They're going to do it on the teleprompter. Then when they were in person, we're like, wow, Rick Ross is really in Canton, Ohio.
Yeah.
You never would have said that or thought that 10 years ago. Right. Or 2 Chainz being here and their T.I. So I love the fact that they're coming here and recognizing Canton as another dope city, not yeah. just Cleveland and Columbus.
Right.
You know, so I always hear about Hall of Fame time and all these celebrities come in and sneak out.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, I want to see Ice Cube. I want to see Snoop.
They take over the Zimmerman yeah. Symphony Center. I had to,
We don't come into work.
Really?
We work from home.
We can't get in. There's too much happening. But they rent out the Zimmerman Symphony Center. But wow. Someone's security needed the all access key to get in somewhere. Cause God, it was some famous football player whose name I don't remember. But I was like walking next to security guards, like letting them in places.
And they host parties here.
Yeah.
Like I always see. Yeah. I forgot what player it was. But I was just one day scrolling on Facebook during Hall of Fame week and I was at the house and someone was like, CeeLo Green was here in Canton. I'm like, really? Who brought him here? But he was performing. I was like, why didn't we know about that?
Wow.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah, man. They like the inductees or enshrinees, they have like these parties and like celebrations and they fly their friends in to come and perform. But like we never know about it until someone shares a picture.
That's not fair.
And then we see Snoop Dogg or something in Canton. I'm like, when was he here? Why didn't you tell us this?
We all would have loved to be there.
Well, it's interesting that you're mentioning the lately seeing more and more artists coming to Canton. Mm-hmm. It felt like kind of like that with kind of like the same thing for us yesterday yeah. with Garrick Olsen
yeah, you mentioned
performing
that show.
Here.
It sounded and like a great show.
This man is like one of the greatest living
pianists.
Piano players.
Yeah.
And he came to Canton, Ohio.
And he came to Canton, Ohio to play with the Canton Symphony Orchestra. This guy could go to the Berlin Philharmonic and he came to the Canton
That's
Symphony
beautiful.
Orchestra.
That's beautiful. You said he's been around the world so many times.
Truly. And
yeah,
it was one of the most.
He's going to be touring Europe later this year. Like he's got.
That's yeah. what I want to do next. I really just want to perform in different places, yeah. like international. I would love to experience like the tour life, but then me being such a fan, and when you hear about rappers and their tour, they say, like, oh, we're so tired this day. But I'm up for it. I mean, I walk a lot.
Yeah, I feel like your mail. Delivering training. It's built you for touring.
It's got me ready for touring.
You're ready for touring.
If you're watching this podcast and you want a rapper to tour, come on.
This is a plug.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Oh my gosh.
So I've got a follow-up question about something we were talking about a little while ago.
Yeah.
You were saying how important it is as a hip-hop artist that you know the history of yeah. your genre. This is something that we as classical musicians study. We take
classes
multiple semesters
right.
of classes
multiple.
About the history of classical mm-hmm. music. And so we know it inside and out by
right.
the time we get our degree. Obviously, not all of our listeners are going to go and take a college class about the history of hip hop. But if there's a book or two about your genre's history that you want to recommend
or
to our listeners
or something. Yeah.
Something that people could learn more about the history of your genre.
Ooh, that's a
great question,
that's a
Matthew.
Great question. I'm trying to think. There's so many dope hip hop documentaries, mockumentaries and comedies too.
Oh yeah.
There's a movie I was watching with a friend called CB4, and it's with Chris Rock, and they were kind of making fun of N.W.A. at that time of hip hop when it was kind of like, but that's mockumentary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I will say, I love that hip hop. They're doing courses on it. You know, like Nas had a course on his Illmatic album at Harvard.
Whoa.
Crazy, right?
That's cool.
So I would recommend a classic movie. I recommend a Wild Style. Mm. That's a classic graffiti movie. Start off in the 80s. Any form of literature. I love hip hop and literature. I bought so many books as of recent from some of my favorite hip hop artists. Logic. Raekwon from the Wu-Tang Clan wrote a great book. Black Thought of the Roots. He wrote a great book called The Upcycled Self.
Oh, that's a great title of
that's
a book.
That's a great title.
That's a great title.
Common, he wrote a book called Let Love Have the Last Word. That's a great book. I'm trying to think of a good film. I know good albums I can recommend.
Hey, recommend the albums. Go for it.
Man. Illmatic, Nas. Mm-hmm. Kanye West. Not last week, Kanye, but 2004 Kanye.
Okay, great.
College Dropout. Any album from The Roots, Mos Def. I like lyricists.
Yeah.
So I like guys who can take words and treat them like instruments, make them sound certain ways. Make MCs, you know what I'm saying? That's why I put the MC in my name, because I feel like with my pen, I feel like that's my instrument. I feel like the notebook is my instrument, you know, not as complex as the orchestra, but I respect it because they know their craft. MCs know the history of the culture, and I respect that musicians have to take orchestra classes. I have friends who've been music majors, and they're like, yeah, we're taking a Bach. You know, we're learning about Bach this week. We're doing a whole 9 weeks.
Everybody
got to learn
studies
about Bach.
Bach
did not know
in music school.
Bach didn't know when he was alive, but he became the building blocks for everything.
Oh, man, I thought music majors, when I was in college, I thought music majors just played music. And every time I seen them, they just be like, yeah, we're studying on this today. Oh, we got a final. We're not even playing instruments yet. We got a paper final. I'm like, when y'all play? End of the quarter, but we got a final on this. So I respect musicians who know the history of their craft.
Yeah.
So read those books. Hip hop literature is one good thing I recommend to people who don't know about it, and those albums I recommend it to.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's really cool. Hip hop has a very cool history.
It does.
And what you said, you know, it came from not having instruments. What do you do when you don't have an instrument? And that's a huge problem for our industry, is that barrier to entry. In order to become a musician who wants to pursue classical music or be in an orchestra, first of all, you have to have access to an instrument. And then in order to go the next step, like with our youth symphony students, having a private lesson teacher who can work with you privately just makes it so much easier to get to that next level. And that's so much barrier to entry.
That's
and
true.
It's just so expensive. Like there's no wonder our art form is constantly wanting to think about the name of their podcast, Orchestrating Change, is because, you know, our stages don't look like and it's a really big problem that we've been, you know, the industry has been thinking about for a really long time. But hip hop was like, yeah, we fixed that problem. We're good.
From my understanding,
yeah,
the start of hip hop, the lack of music programs is how the genre started. They didn't look at music as obtainable or valuable, so that's why it cost us money to buy these instruments. So we're gonna remove the program. So I always love, like, and it's a part where it comes from too. You know, when you come from the projects, you're gonna make use of what you have, to get by. And with hip hop, they used their records and turntables that every household had, and it turned into big, 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 all that. You know, and it turned into this genre of music that's gone from the projects to commercials. Marketing agencies need hip hop for to sell products. You know, so it's come from that to where it's at now. So that's the beauty of hip hop and to be a part of it. Last year was the 50th anniversary of hip hop.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
1973.
What's considered the first? I don't know what's considered the first.
It's a date in August, but there's a printed flyer from DJ Kool Herc. He's considered the forefather of hip hop, and it was a and they had real hip hop on there, and so they considered that the first documented hip hop day because I think it was August 12th. I'm sorry if I'm wrong. Don't kill me. But on there they said we having a rent party, only 50 cents to get in because we're trying to get money for my sister and her school clothes, and that was documented as the first hip hop event. So that's always considered the birthday of hip hop. So like last year was the 50th anniversary. So many great concerts.
Gosh, we didn't know.
And you know what? NPR did a big series periodically.
Really? I had no idea.
Little 3-4 minute segments for like a couple of weeks about celebrating the 50th
years.
Anniversary.
I had no idea.
And hip hop is fresh. You know, it's 50 years old. You know, so it's like there's no telling where it can take us, but where it's gone from where it started and now at 50 years old, what it's turned into, it's the number one genre in the world. You know, hip hop is nonstop. And I love that it's 50 years old and to see the forefathers and the legends get their flowers and be able to perform and do all these classic records again, you know, and symphony collaborations throughout the world. It's very powerful. Hip hop is a very influential tool in life and in music to me. Yeah. So
classical music, on the other hand, you know, the orchestra, as we know it, has been around for about 250 years.
I was gonna say, a little longer, yeah.
But what's so fascinating about every genre of music is seeing the way it develops over time and how the orchestra music that was being written 250 years ago, there are both, you can see things that are the same and then things that are very different. And
you
it's so
write it.
Beautiful to see. You've always had to write it.
Yeah.
But think about it. You know, you have 75 people on a stage. In order for 75 people to do the same thing at the same time, you have to write it.
There's no app for that.
Yeah. So I don't know. Although the American Composers Orchestra, Melissa, who runs that organization, they did a project where, because classical musicians, not all classical musicians, I'm painting a broad picture here, but a lot of them, if you ask them to improvise, get so freaked out. They go, excuse me, what? You want me to do what?
Like to freestyle,
to do something that's improv-based, and I come from a bluegrass tradition, which is just doing whatever, you know, there's only four chords and we're playing around those four.
And I played jazz. I played saxophone.
So
yeah,
I know about that.
Both of us would be, I'm completely comfortable with improv. Most classical musicians, unless it's written down, scares them. But the American Composers Orchestra did an experiment where they had a composer write a piece that had intentional improv. So like there was intentional moments where they asked an orchestra to do moments of improv, not everyone at the same time, but like different moving around. And she said it was one of the coolest experiences. And everyone by the end of it, she said at the beginning, everyone was panicking. Everyone was freaking out.
Everybody, because they're so used to structure, right.
They're so used to structure. But by the end of it, everyone was like, oh my, like just felt so free.
Freestyling. Yeah, I feel that. I understand that because you couldn't tell an orchestra player, yo, play something right now. They'd be like, all right, wait a minute. And then have to set it up. And they're used to structure, you know, like even with MCing, like freestyling. Sometimes it's cool to just be with your friends and we just play a random beat and then we just think of some words and just say what we're feeling. Sometimes it's silly, sometimes it's for real. I know some great freestylers who, you know, don't even need to write their rhymes. You know, they just go off the top of their head.
Such a talent.
That is unbelievable.
It's an unbelievable talent.
Yeah.
I know some great freestylers. I had a friend in college named Crispy. You could tell him a word and he would just go off about the word and just rap about it. And different objects. There's an MC, I think his name is Supernatural. When he would do shows, he would tell the crowd to hand him objects. And like, when they would hand him stuff, he'd start rapping about it.
That's cool.
You know? I love that y'all are blown away. Yeah, that's
cool. It's fun. It's cool.
The classical equivalent to that.
Yeah,
that I heard.
Well, yeah, what's
was,
our equivalent?
An organist in Paris, the pipe organ in Paris, who was given two popular songs, the names, like basically two people like called popular songs, and he improvised a piece, like an improvisation based on the tunes of these two popular songs, but in the style of classical organ music.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's like the classical equivalent.
And then
that
there's remixes, you know, in hip hop, you can remix a song, you know.
Oh, classical music loves to remix. Well, we don't call it that, but people do remix. Here's the thing. We love John Williams. But John Williams was so inspired by a lot of other music, and you can find, and Matthew has done really good research on this, but you like that tune from that one famous movie, All We All Know, that's from this symphony.
Wow.
From 200 years ago. Matthew can list off so many of those. He's got them in his back pocket.
See, the symphony and hip hop are kind of the same in some aspects. The values of it, you know, in the history, me being an MC, you got to know about the history beforehand. You know, nowadays people kind of focus on whoever sells the most records is the best hip-hop artist. And that's not always the case. You know, you got some selling a lot of records who are not the best, you know, but they also would have not known or cared to know the history versus me. When I know I carry this mic in my hand, I'm making history. You know, I'm doing something historic with the Canton Symphony, and that's an honor to me. That feels like, you know, my favorite hip hop artist selling a million records or something. You know, it's like I can say I perform with the symphony. You know, not a lot of people can say that.
Yeah.
So I like that I'm making history, even though it's on a local level. But I can share this to future family members and kids, you know, and my nieces and nephew, who they're going to be at the show, and they're excited.
That's
you know,
fun.
They think I'm like the biggest, and I love it too, man, because my sister will ask them, what do y'all want to hear? And they'll be like, Uncle John, and they'll just play one of my albums. So I want them to see this. So I told my sister, please bring my nieces and nephew to the show, because I want them to see this. They're young, and I want them to remember that, you know, because I have a skit on my album, John Not John, where my nephew was like, you could write a book about your life, your career, you know, little kids just say whatever. And I asked him, would you read it? And he was like, yeah, I'd read it. And I have a younger niece named Janiyah, and she was like, I will read it. And I was like, you know how to read? And she said, I know how to read a little bit. And I was like, all right, well, thank you. And that means something. So the fact that we can tell a story and my nieces and nephew can look back and say, my uncle did a show with the symphony and I was on his album, that warms my heart and keeps me going.
That soundbite, is that like them saying that on the album itself?
Where, there's a skit on John Not John the skit is called Unk. And that's where did that. So I like to incorporate that into my albums as well. So
I love when people take voicemail recordings or something and it, from their personal life, and insert it in the beginning of songs as like
because we don't want to get sued from the ones we get from YouTube. So we just use what we know.
Yeah, you know. It's so cool though. It makes the song feel that much more real.
I love that. I want people, when they hear a Jean P album, to feel like they're about to go watch a movie. You know, I'm sure there's artists in the classical genres where you play their music and it feels like an experience on top of being music. So when people hear a Jean P album, I want them to feel like, man, I'm about to listen to a great album, different emotions, different stories, different vibes. I like to bring that element to my music.
There's so many of the best pieces of classical music that aren't just music. It takes you on a journey.
And I think that's what it's supposed to do.
And the most effective pieces in my mind are the ones that can do that. Truly, you are in a different place.
You don't forget
where you end it. When you end that journey, you've been on the journey. You feel the weight of having taken that journey. And it's such a beautiful experience.
I always wish I knew how to direct movies whenever my albums are done, because when people tell me, man, I feel like I was watching a movie. When I do the history, like Illmatic, the album I mentioned, the recommendation, when you listen to Illmatic by Nas and you just close your eyes, you feel like you're in Queensbridge, New York with him. You feel like you're in those projects and dealing with those stories. You feel like you're there. Even though you've never been to New York, you feel like you're a part of it. When I hear a Snoop Dogg album, I feel like I'm in warm California and it's warm out and I'm enjoying the West Coast. Or when I'm in the South, I feel like I'm in the donks with my cousins, you know, chilling out. I love that music can take you places. I want people, when they hear Jean P, we're in Canton. We never been there. We might have drove through it, but it's more than football. You know, I'm in Canton with Jean P.
Another commonality I just realized between hip hop and classical music. I think a lot of people struggle with the idea of going to a symphony orchestra concert because it's so long. And so I feel like this piece of music is going to take forever.
Yeah.
And I think people have lost the art of listening to albums. And I think many hip hop artists, the album is the album. It's meant to be consumed as one thing, just like a symphony, which is about 40 minutes, you know, about the same length as an album. It's meant to be consumed as a journey, as a story. And I think that a lot of people have lost the art of listening to an album all the way through.
Their attention spans are so short. Yeah. We're on TikTok all the time. So we see that 10, 15 second TikTok. We expect our music to be like that. But I'm a lover of music. So I love the albums. I love the art of the album, you know, because that's the generation we come from, those classic albums. I just hope that I make classic albums, or when someone makes a list and puts their favorites, that Jean P's in there somewhere. That's the standard. Like, when I think of Rolling Stone and Pitchfork and all these great reviews, I'm like, man, I want to get an album that just has a good review. You know, someone that, like, the equivalent would be, like, in The Source. If you got a 5-mic album, that was better than getting a Grammy, you know, because the Grammys, they hit or miss about hip-hop recognizing us, like, in The Source, you ask any great MC, if that album got 5 mics, they were all good with that. So
that's really cool. I think my last question is, we've talked about this, but what can we as the Canton Symphony Orchestra be doing to affect change and be a part of this, the resurgence of Canton? What can we as the Canton Symphony Orchestra do? Because I think, especially in the music community, because the music community of Canton, I think, is so much more broad. It's so much bigger than people expect, right? What you mentioned of me, people, you say you're from Canton, people are like, oh my gosh, there's so many amazing musicians here in Canton. So what, from your perspective, can we as the Canton Symphony Orchestra be doing to be a part of that resurgence, that change, to see things get even better in the future?
I would just say, for the Canton Symphony, just keep your ear out. You know, just really tap into these communities, not just hip hop, but there are so many different young artists who would love just the opportunity to perform with the symphony. That collaboration, it's inspiring to me. You know, like, I pray that you guys may see another hip hop artist from this city that may want this opportunity, you know, because we didn't think it was possible, you know. So I would tell the Canton Symphony, just keep your ear out, you know, just pay attention to the culture other than just like what's in front of you, but really dig into what's going on out here. Because for me, as Jean P, the MC, I feel like I had to fight a little harder, you know. That's why I appreciate the Oracle for always being a place for me that has been home. You know, the fact that when it comes to hip hop and people think of the Oracle, they're like, well, Jean P, he's like one of the faces of the Oracle because he's done so many shows there. And Tim Carmody being at the Hub, you know, being in places.
Tim was here at our concert
shout
yesterday.
Shout out to Tim, man.
Tim does everything. Tim's everywhere.
Tim is everywhere, and that's what I strive to be. I want people, when they think of Canton hip-hop, the first name they think of is Jean P. He's the guy. You know, if we need something with hip-hop, anything, he's the one to go to. So I would just really tell the symphony to just be on the lookout. Because I'm like, if you found me, there are so many different things going on in my web of networking that they could really collaborate with. Because I just want to know what they're going to do next. I'm like, if they're collaborating with Jean P, who are they going to work with next? Because I know it's going to be even greater. Because I think about this show every night. You know, I've been performing for 15 years. Okay. And I thought that KRS-One, because I opened for KRS-One, another great MC, I thought that was the pinnacle for me. I was like, I met the God MC. I don't need to do nothing else. But when the Canton Symphony was like, hey, you want to do a show? I was like, cool. But outside, I was like, yeah, this is going to be insane. I can't wait. You know, so it keeps me inspired. And I just wonder what they're going to do next as an organization. Because I'm like, it's going to be some more great things. Because now people are like, I'm going to the next one. I hope that when they see Jean P, they're like, I hope they do more like this. Because I have friends who've never even been to a symphony show. This is their first one with me. You know, they've been to Jean P shows, but it's like they never seen the orchestra. Can they never seen this? Some people are introduced to the Canton Symphony off of my show. You know, so I'm looking forward to the doors that this is going to open for myself and for the organization. So I'm excited what y'all are going to do.
You know, the way you describe the way you've been feeling about the concert,
yeah.
this is exactly like how I felt about Garrick Olson yesterday.
That's
and
dope.
You and I are almost the same age. I've been conducting for 15 years. I started my freshman year of college.
Wow.
Just like you. Yeah, we have a lot of parallels here. And like 15 years in, I'm like, God, is there anywhere to go but down from what I did yesterday?
You teach me how to do it, you, and I teach you how to rap.
How much fun would that be?
No, I mean, actually, wait, no, it's recorded. This is great. I love that idea. That'd be so fun.
That'd be great. More collaborations. So I want more collaborations with you.
See,
guys,
here's the thing. Davey will edit this little line out, but my creativity, my skill as a conductor is mainly, of course, interpreting the music of others.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, you know, I could take somebody else's rap and maybe perform it. Like I could learn it, yeah, like a classical musician. Right? I could study it. I could learn it.
It's written down.
I don't know that I could freestyle.
Yeah, yeah. Freestyle's
but
hard.
I certainly could learn freestyle. Somebody else.
Yeah, it's crazy because when I did the show at Mount Union, they wrote my rap for me.
Okay.
That was a third.
Oh, interesting. Oh. That's very interesting.
Yeah. They did a song called Children Go Where I Send Thee, and in the performance, there was a rap written, and I had to learn the rap.
Gotcha.
There was a rap that they put into the song, so I told Miss Beth, shout out Miss Beth Poland, yep. I said, you guys were the first to ghostwrite for me. I never had no one write my raps for me before, but you're the first.
You can ghostwrite something for Matthew.
I got you, man.
Yeah, get
you
exactly. Right.
I love that. And that's, I think what's so, and why I was so excited to have you on the podcast is because I was thinking about it and I was like, there's got, every music has something in common. But for some reason, like hip hop to me has always felt like a genre that has so much more in common with classical music than a lot of people would realize. And I think that there's also some really interesting, I think hip hop is born partly out of people's lack of caring to make music accessible.
Exactly.
And the lack of music education in programs and a lot of the hoity-toityness of classical music. And so I think that without classical music not doing its job, you know, like hip hop came out of that, which I'm glad it did. And I think that that's really cool, but it's also, I think it's like a very much a mirror up to us of classical music. There were gaps, but people are smart enough and music is powerful enough that it happened anyway.
Yes.
Which I think is so cool about hip hop as a genre. And the fact it's only, you know, I feel so bad. I didn't know it turned 50 last year. I'm so mad that I didn't know, but
no,
that's
cool. Man, I love when people are introduced to it, because just as you are getting me hip to classical, I love that people who are in different worlds understand that, oh man, hip hop's only 50 years old. You know, it's a fresh genre of music. And I love the fact that it can start conversations. Yeah. You know, like I have friends who like their certain type of artists, and, you know, I'm a real big hip hop head, man. Like I just love, I'm trying to think of something I've done that was really hip hop outside of music. So I like when I do my podcast, I try to teach the kids about it. I love talking with younger kids about it.
You started doing a class with enrichment, didn't you?
I started doing a podcast class with enrichment. And one of the things I do is I ask the kids, who do y'all like to listen to? And the artists, they tell me, crazy. You know, they always have some wild, but the first thing they say is, yeah, they have this many streams and this many numbers. And I'll put them on the music I like, and they'll be like, oh man, this is really good. When did this come out? And I'll be like, oh, 1990 something. That's when it came. Oh, this sounds really good. And when they hear my music, I love when the younger kids hear me. Because when I go into the schools, they're like, oh, someone's just coming to talk our head off. Then you play the music and they're like, oh, wow. you're from here, you know? So I love that, man. Hip hop is, it's changed my life and it's opened some doors for me that I'm glad that it has.
Definitely. So before we let you go, we're going to ask you the question that we ask every guest at the end of every episode. And it is a very open-ended question. So take it and run with it however you'd like. How do we orchestrate change?
Man, you orchestrate change by including the people, I think, including the city, people who want to change. You know, you can't change things who people you don't want to involve. I think when people want change, it happens. I love the fact that y'all are collaborating with me and other people. I think change requires collaboration, you know, including everyone, you know, making people feel they can do it. You know, that's where I think change starts. Tapping in with other groups of people, you know, I think that takes change. But my main answer to that is you incorporate change by working with people who want change, you know. Unfortunately, we live in a world where some people don't want that. They don't want change. They just want things to be the way they are. But sometimes change is necessary. It's better for you as a person, and some people don't want change. So for your organization, work with people who want change. That makes things so much easier, you know. Like, if they want that, it makes it all easier. When people who don't want change, it's like trying to get someone to do something. They don't want to do it. So I love the fact that y'all are really incorporating that and wanting to change, you know. Like, I respect that, you know, because some people I won't work with because of their values and their standards on things. But like, when I saw y'all podcast was about change, I was all aboard that. So I'm all about change, especially Canton. I love Canton, so
what you just said about working with people who want change, I see back in season one we had a conversation with pianist Sarah Davis Buchner, and so what she said, she's an amazing woman, you can look her up, but she said, if people are going to accept you or people are going to come around to change at their own time, don't waste your time on someone who's not going to accept you or work with you. If they get to a point where they do, great, good for them. But we've got too much going on. She said it so much more eloquently than that, but like that idea of work with the people who are going to work with you and get to that change. Because if you spend so much time just trying to convince everyone to change their minds, you've wasted all your energy on the people who are there right in front of you wanting to do
change. I'm like that with kids. I'm like, when I'm with kids and I tell the teacher all the time, give me the kids who want to learn. Give me the kids who actually want to do this. You know, I'm not discouraging the kids who may not want to, but it's like, I like to work with passionate people. Y'all are passionate about music, so that makes me even more excited about the symphony, you know, because from the outside looking in, I'm thinking y'all are, like, wearing tight coats and y'all are this way. I didn't know what to expect. I'm like, man, they're probably, like, really structured. They probably don't really want to work with rappers. But the fact that y'all were all smiles when I come in, that makes me feel good, you know. So it's like, y'all want change, though. Y'all not like, we're just going to do hip-hop because we have to do it.
We're just checking the box.
Filling the quota. Yeah. You know, you can feel that when you go to certain places, but
Nothing at the symphony here. Nothing here is done because we feel like we have to.
Good.
It's done because any music that we put out with our name on it is done because we feel it's good music
that
our audience deserves to hear.
I like that. I like that a lot. Like, you want to change. You know, you want that. So that makes me happy and it makes me feel like I'm a part of something good. So,
a part of making hip hop history and becoming a part of that history.
On the last day of Black History Month.
Oh my gosh.
Jean P, it has been such a pleasure talking with you today.
Thank you so much
for coming in.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Of course, this is fun.
Jean P, the MC. You can hear him with the Canton Symphony Orchestra as part of our Divergent Sound series at the Oracle on February 29th.
Orchestrating Change is a production of the Canton Symphony Orchestra.
Our theme music was composed by Eric Gould and performed by Derek Snyder and Tim Adams.
Our audio engineer and mixer is Nathan Maslick, with video and audio editing by Shoreline Media.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.